That's the sound of KCUR's Central Standard steaming up some milk. We're getting ready to talk about hot beverages on today's food show. There will be cocoa, tea, coffee, broth, and more. I'm Gina Kaufman. To start the show, one beverage in particular has become so famous that people like to refer to it by its initials. That's how you know you've really arrived. Our reporter Andrea Tudhope went on a quest to find the pumpkin in the latte.
Hear that sound? That's the sound of 5 dead leaves I found in a parking lot. Yes, fall is upon us, and fall marks the arrival of the heralded, beloved pumpkin spice latte. Hashtag PSL. The pumpkin spice latte was born in 2003 when it made its first public debut in a Starbucks in D.C. It sure has grown up a lot since then. The real PSL now has its own Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can even instant message with the PSL chatbot. Understandably, the superstar was unavailable for an interview. I imagine the real PSL is under a lot of stress right now. These days, it's rare to find a cafe that doesn't offer some version of a pumpkin drink. In my mind, a pumpkin spice latte surely has to have pumpkin in it. Apparently, many don't. There's some controversy about this, but I found someone who's decidedly put her foot down.
It was really important to me to use real pumpkins.
Kate Blackman is the mastermind behind Parisi Coffee's Pumpkin Caramel Latte. Hashtag PCL. It all starts with pie pumpkins fresh from the Kuhn family farm in Cortland, Kansas.
First thing that we do is just open these pumpkins up. So kind of like you're doing a jack-o'-lantern. Cut that guy in half, and then we're going to cut him into quarters.
Then she grabs a spoon to scrape the guts out.
Once they're all scraped and prepped, they'll get a little pat of butter and then a little bit of spice on them. And we'll roast these until they're peelable and soft.
She gets a pot of sugar boiling. When the pumpkins are ready, she cooks them in a vat of heavy cream, purees them, and then strains the mixture before adding more of her secret spices. I'm guessing cinnamon, nutmeg, and clove, but you didn't hear it from me. When the caramelized sugar has darkened and is near burning, Kate pours in the pumpkin cream.
When I do this, you'll want to stand back a little bit. It kind of, it's wild.
A cloud of a certain nostalgic, syrupy, buttery aroma fills the air as she whisks in the cream.
Total comfort. You know, I mean, this is like hanging out with grandma and like, you know, making things in the kitchen and just that comfort of like warm spice and, you know, I was definitely a butter family. So the way that you make the pumpkin cream is really important. No one wants to chew a latte.
After it cools, it's ready to be bottled and transported to the Parisi cafes across the metro. For such a sought-after drink, the production is pretty labor-intensive.
These guys that are down in the bakery and have to do this most of the time are probably cursing my name every day, like, ugh, we have to do this barbecue, Kate, ugh.
Kate's been at this for 16 years. She says you come to expect this.
For those of us in retail, the start of pumpkin season really just means the holidays. So it's like then the door is opening to all the Christmas crazy that's going to come. So you're like, yep, now it's on. Like, I will not rest until January.
Thank the Great Pumpkin this season only lasts 6 weeks. In the end, each pumpkin caramel latte has just a dollop of pumpkin, a lingering hint of flavor to complement the sweet steamed milk and the acidic espresso. I head over to the Parisi Cafe inside Union Station for the final stretch of the process behind the latte.
Bad, bad news, the pumpkin. You don't have it?
No.
Oh, really?
There's a shortage right now.
In the midst of what the barista calls pumpkin everything season, this is indeed a tragedy. But not to worry, the production plant I just visited is less than a mile away.
Well, we're on our way to go get some more, so we've only disappointed like 5, but they get really sad. So, and you included, I apologize. But the demand's crazy. I mean, I remember like working at other coffee shops, we ran out of pumpkin, and it was like anarchy.
As I'm leaving the Union Station parking lot, an ambulance and fire truck, sirens and all, are pulling in. I have to hope the injury didn't stem from the temporary shortage in PSL supply. Of course, I can't end this story without tasting a pumpkin spice latte. After going local, I suppose I have to go corporate, where the PSL well never runs dry. I'm getting hot standing at the back of the line at Starbucks. Maybe it's not quite leather jacket season. In the midst of the 8 a.m. rush hour, I turn to my new friend, Colleen.
Are you getting a pumpkin spice latte?
No.
Okay.
Why?
Just checking.
I'm looking around and the shelves are stocked with instant pumpkin spice latte packets and orange travel mugs labeled Team PSL.
Can I get a pumpkin spice latte?
So a veggie pumpkin spice latte? Is that what you said?
A small one probably is good.
No, I'm not trying to upsell you. I just want to make sure I heard you right.
Can I get soy milk?
Sure, of course. So does that mean you want whip or no whip?
I'll take whip.
Pumpkin spice latte with chai or Danny. Jessica, not that extra hot pumpkin spice latte. Andrea, tall soy pumpkin spice latte with the whip.
Yeah, you heard that right. Soy milk and whipped cream. And now allegedly real pumpkin. But who knows? All I taste is sugar.
Andrea Tudhope brought us that story from Parisi Artisan Coffee and from Starbucks on the Plaza. I'm Gina Kaufman, and this is KCUR's Central Standard. Our food critics are here. Today's topic is hot drinks. Charles Ferruza with us from The Independent and the Shawnee Mission Post. What's your favorite hot beverage in general?
My favorite hot in general? Well, of course, in general, it'd probably be coffee. But, you know, I'm for this show, I'm thinking of other things like hot cider.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, I love hot cider.
Where do you find a good hot cider in Kansas City? I mean, we've got apples growing all around here.
Right.
We're up to our ears in apples.
You know, I prefer pumpkin spice hot cider. But no, I got to tell you, this is the last weekend for the Lewisburg Cider Fest. So they have wonderful, wonderful hot cider there.
Okay, I'm going to get the details from you on that a little later in the
show,
okay? And Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, what's your secret weakness when it comes to hot drinks?
Well, I drink tea during the week and coffee on the weekends. So I would tell you that right now, I mean, tea is kind of where it's at for me. So I love the honeysuckle white tea at Shang's in Crown Center.
Man, okay. This is going to be an exciting time we're going to have. Natalie Gallagher is also with us this morning. Hi, Natalie.
Hi.
Now, your list has a lot of after-dinner adult variety choices on it, and
yes.
I am excited to hear about those. But let's start with responsible morning drinks before hitting the hard stuff. Do you have a favorite, like, coffee, tea, cocoa you want to tell us about?
Yeah. My standby is always the matcha tea latte at Collie's.
Tell us about matcha. That's not by any means a new right. drink, but it's new as far as like mainstream American tastes.
Right. So the biggest difference between matcha tea lattes and a regular tea hot drink, the matcha leaf is essentially ground in its entirety. So you get like 10 times the amount of caffeine that you would get in like a normal tea latte, which is awesome for me with like all of the projects going on. So,
and it's a green tea, right?
It's a green tea, yeah. And it's not colored at all. It's the natural, it's not dyed. That's the natural color of it. So I love it with coconut milk, and Collie's does that. And yeah,
cool.
It's naturally a little sweeter, and it works for me.
Well, so before we get into these maybe more idiosyncratic favorites, I guess you could say, let's talk a little bit about coffee, because coffee is the obvious morning drink. It's a favorite for a reason, and that reason for most of us is addiction. We occasionally do entire shows on coffee because there's enough coffee in this town to merit that. But so we won't dwell on coffee, but who wants to give a shout out to a special coffee drink worthy of mention?
I like, and I don't usually, in the morning especially, I don't like sweet coffee of any kind. But I'm kind of fond of the High Hat Coffee. It has a name, this drink, but I can't remember it. But they make a mocha beverage and a Mexican hot chocolate. And I think they have names. But they use the Aztec bark from the neighboring chocolate shop, Anador's, which is a great chocolate shop. And the Aztec bark is a dark, rich chocolate seasoned with cinnamon and cayenne. And it's not really, really spicy, but there's enough of a kick to this coffee chocolate drink, the mocha, to kind of get you really started in the morning. I don't want to make a habit of drinking it.
Yeah, I was going to say, this hits on several addictions all at once.
It really does. And, you know, if I got to watch, you know, my skin breaks out if I have too many of them.
your spiced chocolate coffee acne.
Yeah, Clarisil doesn't work.
So, but this is it. Okay, I shouldn't be, you know, that it sounds like a great beverage. And this is at Hi Hat on, that's on State Line, right?
Yes, in Westwood Hills, Kansas, yeah.
So, and the chocolate comes from Anador's right down the street. Anything
Correct.
Else you want to say about the taste and how they put it all together?
Well, however they blend it, it doesn't taste like a typical mocha, of course. It tastes very, very rich. It tastes really more like a hot cocoa than a coffee drink, but you know, and there's good stuff in it. I should also give a shout out to the Coffee Cake KC food truck, which makes the Pablo, which is a cup of hot Mexican chocolate with a double shot of espresso. If that won't wake you up, the combination of espresso and the spicy chocolate, I don't know what will.
Then you probably shouldn't be awake.
It's really good with Nicorette gum in the morning.
So tell me, how can people track down this coffee truck? Can you say the name of it again?
Yes, Coffee Cake KC. They do have coffeecakekc.com is easy to find online. And I believe they're going to be in Lawrence tomorrow. But they're very good about letting people know where they are.
And every Thursday, they're in the crossroads, kind of right behind the old pitch building.
Over at 17th and Main.
Yeah.
Natalie, do you have anything else you like to get from that truck? Or do you also order the Pablo?
Actually, I'm a big fan of the Pablo. but no, typically they always have a really great selection of super flavored lattes. They did like a vanilla wafer latte. I mean, they get really creative with really desserty lattes, which is really fun.
Jenny, do you have a coffee you want to give a shout out to, or are there too many to pick?
Well, we have so many great coffee places that are roasting their own beans that make it, you know, it makes it really easy to have a great cup of coffee at home. And so right now, if I'm at home, I'm drinking Maps coffee. So when I go out, I really want coffee drinks that I can't make at home, things with steamed milk or things that have, you know, extra ingredients like the mocha and the spice that Charles was talking about. So those are the things I look for. And I also, I'm a kind of a plain coffee drinker, but I also happen to be seeing a man who is just absolutely in love with the mocha choco latte. I mean, the more stuff you can put in his coffee, the better. So Hi Hat Coffee, like as Charles recommended in Westwood Hills, just is the right spot for us to go because he can kind of get his drink. I can kind of get a plain cup of coffee if I want, or just a simple cafe au lait, which is really what I prefer to drink probably if I go out. It's just, you know, kind of simple steamed milk. But
and Hi Hat, what kind of drip coffee do they serve?
You know, I'm not sure what brand. Do you know?
I don't
know what brand.
Mysteries abound.
I know, exactly. But it's a great place to people watch as well.
Well, so before we move on, what about tea? Can we just quickly address new trends in tea? Because it seems like tea is maybe trendy for the first time in recent memory for me.
Yeah, you know, I think tea is one of those things that's kind of been ushered in with our quest for health, good health, and something warm to drink to kind of fill the void. If coffee has too much caffeine, tea can have just as much, if not more, depending on what you're drinking. But I think it's part of this kind of health food thing that we're looking for.
But it feels cleaner somehow.
Yeah, I think so. And it's usually drank more unadorned. You know, there's not sugar and agave and, you know, milk and cream and coconut milk and cashew and all that to put in it. So
there's been, I mean, it seems like there's quite a movement away from tea in tea bags, that there's more of a loose leaf kind of tea and that kind of stuff. Are people really experimenting with that here in Kansas City?
I think there's plenty of places that do cater to it for sure. Absolutely.
Well, our critics are going to share their favorite spots for tea in the metro, but now let's get back to the fall fund drive. I'm Gina Kaufman, KCUR Central Standard. We'll be right back. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and it's a food show, a favorite of a lot of people out there. We're talking about hot drinks today with Charles Ferruza, Jenny Vergara, and Natalie Gallagher. We were just hearing about some big trends in tea. And Jenny, tell us about where you go for tea in Kansas City. This sounds like a place with a story. Yeah, you know, this place has been open for several years, and it opened as Shang's Tea Company, and the gentleman that owns it, Mr. Shang, has a tea farm, basically, in China that he farms with his family, I believe, for about 2 months out of the year. And then he comes back to Kansas City with this white tea is his specialty, what they specifically grow there, but there's a few other kinds as well that he has. And he basically was serving and selling it in his tea shop for several years. But within the last year, he's opened inside his tea shop. It's called One Plus One Dim Sum Tea House. And you can go and have a couple of little dim sum snacks along with your tea, which is kind of nice. So you can eat and drink your tea. So I love the white tea there specifically because that's what his specialty is. But it's the honeysuckle white that I really enjoy. So I'm drinking that at home actually right now.
What makes white tea distinctive? Do you know? I mean, the differences between the kinds of tea?
Yeah, obviously, I mean, you know, white tea has, even if you look at it, it's kind of a lighter leaf. It's not a dark green leaf. It's almost like a silvery kind of color to it. But it's a very light, just a touch floral kind of experience. It's not a big strong tea. I'm sure if you steeped it longer, you're supposed to steep it about 1 to 2 minutes. But if you steeped it longer, I'm sure it'd be stronger. But it's very light. I love it. I mean, it's kind of just perfect for this time of year, kind of transitioning from summer into fall. I might go for a black tea as it kind of gets into winter. But yeah, it's light, lovely. And it can be drunk, obviously, over ice if you want it chilled. But
what's your favorite dim sum snack to pair with it?
So they have these tea-soaked hard-boiled eggs that I'm kind of crazy about. They're very dark brown in color, and they've just basically been soaked in this brine of tea and spices from his tea shop. And he just kind of slices it open, and it's basically just a hard-boiled egg that's kind of like a pickled egg, if anybody's had that. I mean, it's very similar to that. But I love that. But his dumplings is probably the specialty that he serves there. He makes them by hand, and they're very, very good, very authentic. So,
man, so where is this again?
It's in Crown Center. It's on the second floor, I believe.
Let's talk about hot cocoa. We've kind of delved into chocolate a little bit in our coffee discussion because we have some fans of the spicy mocha in the room. But Charles, what is your favorite hot cocoa in Kansas City?
Well, I think now this is coming from a person who was raised drinking Nestle's Quick.
Nesquik.
Yeah. And it took me a long time to recover from that. And so I love really, really rich drinking chocolate, which is, I guess, what they call it, mm-hmm. not hot chocolate or cocoa. But I like to go to Christopher Elbow, mostly because I like those marshmallows.
What's special about the marshmallows?
They make them there. They're really old-fashioned kind of marshmallows. And, you know, I don't order a lot of drinking chocolate. I probably should. But, you know, on a really, really frigid cold day, It is for me what glog, is it glog mm-hmm. is for Natalie?
We're going to be hearing about glog in a little bit. But Charles, okay, so you recommend Christopher Elbow. That's uh-huh. downtown yes. in the Crossroads. Can you tell me what makes their drinking chocolate, as we grown-ups say, so special to you?
Well, for one thing, it doesn't taste like Nestle's Quick or, you know, Swiss Miss. It's real chocolate. It tastes like real melted chocolate, which is what is essentially is.
So is it, I have had it, but it's been a long time. And if I remember correctly, it's a little bit more maybe dense than.
It is dense, yeah.
It's sort of a smaller cup, but it's a really rich.
It's like the
cup.
Hot version of chocolate mousse. You know, it's really, really rich and maybe not so good for you, I would think, but worth it, you know.
Good is a relative term.
Yeah, as an occasional treat. Yeah.
Okay, well, so Charles Ferruza is recommending the drinking chocolate at Christopher Elbow. Anyone else have a hot chocolate they want to recommend?
I mean, mine involves alcohol, so.
And we're saving that for last.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll hear about that later. What about, Charles, you were talking about the Lewisburg Apple Cider Fest, which yes. is going on through this weekend.
Yes, I think it's the Saturday and Sunday are the last 2 days. Yeah.
So tell me more about the cider that people can get there in Lewisburg. That's if you just head south of Kansas City proper.
Right. The best way is to go to, I think it's LewisburgCiderMill.com. It has all the directions, which I need because I get lost perpetually. But there's, you know, the entire festival smells like apples, fresh apples, and that's always very intoxicating. But
it's like a sit on the haystacks kind of place.
Well, if you are into that, yeah. But they press their own, you know, apple juice and ciders.
I think that process is interesting, too,
to
watch.
It is very interesting. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I here's the deal. I love hot cider. I love cold cider. I like any kind of cider. But really, the reason I go is for the cider donuts. I mean, you just can't have cider and not eat something.
We're going to slip food in here whether...
Yeah, whether you want to or
whether
not.
Whether you want to or not.
Yeah.
It's got to happen.
The cider donuts are the best.
But tell me about them.
They are moist. They really taste like apples. And they're not a fritter.
No.
No, they're donuts. But they really
cake.
Have that...
Cake donuts.
Yeah, that tartness that you expect from apple cider.
So having an apple cider donut with your apple cider doesn't feel kind of like...
Well, luckily, this festival is once a year. Otherwise, you know, yeah. I mean,
oh,
for
I'm
that day,
dunker.
It's fine. Yeah.
I dunk mine. My apple cider donut gets dunked into my apple cider. So
you're so creative that way. But I would do the very same thing and probably have. Yeah.
So and it's a fun scene there.
Yeah, and you know what? It's you know me. I'm not really one for things with a lot of screaming kids, but I make an exception for Cider Fest because there's a lot of screaming kids and they all seem relatively well behaved. And I know it's because of the donuts
and a pumpkin patch and a corn maze and all of that. So.
I'm Gina Kaufman getting awesome hot drink recommendations from Charles Ferruza, Jenny Vergara, and Natalie Gallagher. If you're going to run out and try one of these drinks, you ought to be supporting the station that brings you these food shows. How about it? I'm Gina Kaufman with the Food Critics here on KCUR Central Standard. We've gotten lots of ideas for places to visit for hot beverages, from tea to cider and coffee, all the usual suspects from our good friends Charles Ferruza, Jenny Vergara, and Natalie Gallagher. So far, they've been safe for work kinds of drinks. But now let's talk about the boozy kind of beverage. Natalie, will you care to kick us off?
Sure. So one of my favorites, you mentioned hot chocolate before. My favorite hot chocolate is at Jack's Fish House and Oyster Bar. Kenny Kors, the bar manager there, does this phenomenal drink called the 3975, which was my drink of the year for 2015. And it is essentially a hot chocolate topped with a house-made marshmallow. So he does it with pineapple syrup, a house-made habanero cordial, coconut milk, Aztec chocolate.
Wait a minute. Is this all one drink?
This is all in. Yes, this is all.
It's actually sounds really good.
It's so tasty. The Aztec chocolate that he it's a combination of chocolate that he blends together. Delmage crema de mezcal, which is mezcal that's been blended with agave syrup, so it's a little sweeter than your normal mezcal. And then he garnishes the whole thing with a bruleed house-made marshmallow, and it is like Christmas cheer in a cup that you can just drink. I mean, I want to say all year round, but like, you know, he'll have it available in the second week in October, and it's so delightful. It's like half tropical, half Mexico.
Yeah, the pineapple plus habanero plus chocolate plus coconut.
It works. It totally works.
I think you become Mayan royalty after you drink it. I think there must be some sort of feathered crown or something that comes out that.
Well,
that
it certainly feels awesome. That way. It does, yeah.
At an Oyster House, no,
and they have
celebratory.
Yes.
So this is at Jack's, and they have another drink that you're recommending.
Yeah. So this one is going to be new on the menu from Kenny as well. It's essentially a hot toddy that he's doing with Calvados, which is a French brandy, an apple brandy. And then he's doing it with regular brandy and Benedictine, which is a French liqueur made with kind of secret ingredients. It's a very, very old liqueur. And it's just, I mean, to piggyback off of Charles's cider recommendations, it's going to be a little like that, but maybe with some rosy cheeks involved after you consume it. So.
Good to know that they have an exciting hot drink menu at Jack's.
Yeah.
And then... Okay, Jenny and Natalie have both recommended a drink that sounds very fun to say, glog.
It is fun to say. It is fun to say. You can find it at Kokstrom Club and Market, which is down on Broadway. And so basically it's Scandinavian mulled wine that has warming spices, raisins, almonds, and brandy. And it's all steeped together. And then it's served hot. And then they actually top it with a little bit of vodka on top just to give it kind of that little boozy punch.
And it's like the perfect after-dinner drink this time of year. It's very, you know, all those warming spices just make you think of fall. And it's probably the one, like, after-dinner drink where I might be able to have two if I, you know, was really
right.
deciding to stay. Well, you know, maybe not drive. Maybe Uber, but...
So Croxton and Club is in Westport, right?
It's on Broadway, actually, so I'd say Midtown.
All right. And Natalie, anything you want to add about this drink?
I think it's just fun to note that, you know, of all of the hot cocktails that we are talking about today, all the hot drinks, Glögg has quite a history. I think it dates back to like 2nd century Roman. I mean, it's like, and then in the 1300s, it appeared in like a cookbook in English history, I think. So there's quite a story involved. It's still found in Norway today, probably more so than anywhere else in the world, but it goes back quite a long way. So it's kind of fun.
That's perhaps the lack of clarity I hear linguistically when I hear the word Glögg.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Well, so, okay, and we've got some hot buttered rum.
Oh, you know, hot buttered rum. Who doesn't love that? I mean, that's an old school drink. And years ago, I tried to make it at home and I ended up with like this butter oil slick in my glass. So I refuse to make them at home now and I only go out to get them. And when I do, I go to the W Bar in Lee Summit. Mike Strom is the bartender there and he makes a really, really good one that he just put on his fall menu. And it's made with 4-square port cast rum, vanilla caramel ice cream, cinnamon clove nutmeg butter, and Post Coffee Company coffee.
I mean, you don't even need the booze,
right.
Let's be honest.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's so rich. I mean, really like dessert in a glass, but it's warming and lovely, and it's got that little buttery edge to it. I can't get enough of it. Love it.
So I also have a hot buttered rum spin. This one is going to be coming to Westside Local on the new fall drink menu. Arturo Vera Felice, who was formerly at Justice Drugstore, is now there working with Snacks Snyder in there. They've got some great things coming to the menu. But his hot buttered rum is inspired by the butterbeer from Harry Potter. It's called Liquid Luck, which is a book 6 reference, I believe.
Wow.
I know. God, I'm a
nerding out on Harry Potter.
Totally, yeah. Totally.
Is there like a 5-second synopsis of what the role of butterbeer is in this story?
Butterbeer is technically in Harry Potter canon, I believe, it's not super alcoholic because I know that, like, as a student, you could drink it, but it's essentially just like a frothy, buttery, cool drink. But it made you feel warm on the inside. So Arturo's Liquid Luck is made with a compound butter that kind of tastes like cream soda. And then rum, drambuie, and everything. It's so good.
Natalie Gallagher, thanks for joining us. Natalie's writing appears in The Pitch, 435 South, and Feast Magazine. And Jenny Vergara of Feast Magazine, always fun to see you.
Absolutely, a pleasure.
For those who have a more upstanding idea of an adult beverage, they'll have to check our recommendations online for your bone broth recommendation.
Yes.
And Charles Ferruza of The Independent and the Shawnee Mission Post, thanks so much.
Thank you, Gina. It's good to have you back.
Thanks. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard. Our crew consists of Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Brian Ellison, Andrea Tudhope, and Suzanne Hogan, with help from Raven Brooks. She's our intern. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs. We'll catch you next week. Keep those pledges of support to KCUR coming.